You are listening to the God, Love, and Relationship Podcast with Melvin Davis. I want to thank you for tuning in to my first episode. I'm really excited to get this message out to you. This podcast has been a long time coming, but I feel like in this season it's the time to, you know, just to release and push forth with things. This year I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm currently somewhere around Genesis, maybe 50, I believe, the 50th chapter. But there's a message that I want to share with you from the 22nd chapter. Normally when I read the Word of God, I read it out loud to myself. And, you know, I believe that, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of God. That when you read the Word of God out loud, it builds your faith. It also invites the presence of God to come and just manifest to you. And normally when I read the Word of God out loud, I begin to feel God's presence. This doesn't happen all the time, but it happens on a consistent basis. And it just, I guess it just depends on, you know, if God wanna just, you know, just choose to reveal himself to me. But it's an awesome experience. Every time it happens, I kind of like just pause and just begin to meditate and open my heart to hear what God is saying through his word. So this is a message in the 22nd chapter of Genesis that I want to share with you. I don't necessarily have a formal title, but there are two distinct words that came to mind as I was reading through the verses. And they are sacrifice and trust. Sacrifice and trust. I'm not going to read the entire chapter to you. I'm going to summarize the first half of this chapter, and then I'm going to start reading at verse 8. So many of you are probably familiar with the story of Abraham, where God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And I'm using the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, to read the Bible this year. And if you notice, depending on the translation, some of them have like a header at the top of the chapter before it gets into the verses. And in the NLT version, it says, Abraham's faith is tested. And if you notice, in the 21st chapter, God fulfills the promise on Abraham's and Sarah's life of blessing them with the child, who is Isaac. And after this child is birthed, God then gives Abraham a test. And this test was one of faith. God was challenging Abraham's faith, knowing that him and Sarah for years could not have a child. And soon as he gives birth to the child Isaac, God then tests Abraham's faith to give a son up. So God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to sacrifice your son tells him to go to this land, to the land of Moriah. And, Abraham takes the things that he needs, that he's going to, sacrifice, to set up the altar to sacrifice Isaac on. And then he takes, two young men with him, to go to this site. And at verse 8, I'm sorry, verse 6, it reads, "So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, 'Father.' 'Yes, my son,' Abraham replied. 'We have the fire and the wood,' the boy said, 'but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?'" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. And I'm pretty sure that Isaac is thinking in his head, like, "All right, Dad, the burnt offering is going to be there." He's not thinking that, he himself is the sacrifice. Verse 9. When they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it, then tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Yes,' Abraham replied, 'here I am.'" Verse 12, "Don't lay your hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." And then the next verse, the Lord provides a ram, supernaturally provides a ram for Abraham to sacrifice in place of his son. And then I read a different translation. I read the New King James Version last week, and it says that, when the angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven, the Lord God says, communicating through the angel, "I now know that you fear God." And when I read that verse, that's when God's presence began to manifest to me. And I began to ask myself the question, can God say about me that I fear him? Now, the fear that the Bible often references is, it's not the type of fear of being scared or horrified in any kind of way. It's more of a reverential fear, and to have a reverence, a deep reverence for God, is to fear him. That means to walk in obedience, to to posture your heart in the way of worshiping and total submission and surrender. That same type of fear is the kind of fear that rested on Jesus Christ, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. But I asked myself the question, can God say to me that I fear him? If he were to test me. And one of the messages, and I know that you probably heard this text preach so many times, but there's so much revelation in it. You can, I don't think any minister of the gospel, can't find anything, new in it, or, God's spirit can't reveal anything new to us. And so the obvious is, God is gonna test you. He's gonna give you something in the same way that he blessed Isaac, I mean Abraham, with the son, and then in return, God ask him to sacrifice his son. And I'm sure it, Abraham is, it was probably thinking like, just doesn't make sense. And we know that, you know, it says in the Word of God that, you know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. I mean, to read that and then to have experiential knowledge of that are two different things. And in that moment, Abraham got a test of the ways and the thoughts of God. It didn't make sense for him to kill his only son that he and Sarah waited for years to have, and now to be put on the altar to be killed. And there's a question that I want to ask you. What is God asking you to put on the altar to kill? What is God instructing you to give up that he wants you to kill? And do you have the ability to hear from God, to listen to his instructions when he's asking you to give up something? So that's something that that's so key in this scripture, is that Abraham was so in tune to God that when the Lord spoke to him, he knew that it was coming directly from him. And when you can hear God, it's an indication that you can trust him. But when you are in a position where you don't know if God is speaking to you or not, it's hard to walk in obedience, especially when you don't have clear instruction. So what is God asking you to give up and sacrifice? And are you willing to trust him? See, God didn't tell Abraham in the beginning that a ram will be provided for him. The only thing that he got, the only part of the instructions that he got, was to go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice Isaac there. And then supernaturally, an angel calls out from heaven. And, you know, not only did Abraham have that intimate relationship with God where he was able to hear God's voice, but he also had the spiritual discernment to know that this angel was sent from God. And God may send an angel to you. He might send someone to you to give you a word of encouragement, to give you specific instructions. And whatever it is that God, you know, who God sends to you. Another question that I want to ask you is that, do you have the ability to discern the Spirit of God? Because the angels, they carry the Spirit of God with them. There's a story that I want to share with you as it relates to your relationship with God. When I was 18 years old, I worked at a summer camp, and where I lived wasn't too far away, so I walked to work every morning. And, you know, my walks in the morning, those were some good times in my life, because that was like my time with God to, you know, speak with him, talk with him. I would listen to gospel music on my way to work, or a sermon, and just dialogue with God. And I remember one morning I said in my heart, God, I'll never, whatever happens to me in life, I'll never leave you. I'll never depart from you. I made that covenant in my heart at the age of 17, 18. I made that covenant not because I was in, a good mood or this came from a place of emotions. Because we know that when you make decisions in the heat of your emotions, they're subject to change later, depending on what type of circumstance or obstacle that you will face. So I made that covenant in my heart. Then years after, I was in what I would describe a wilderness experience. And during that wilderness, my faith was tested. I went through some excruciating, uncomfortable, words can't really describe what I experienced, but I remember many nights of crying and praying and losing faith and feeling hopeless. But it was in the wilderness that I learned how to depend more on God than people. In the wilderness, God stripped away people in my life that I could have called to receive a word of encouragement or prayer, or some type of just counsel or comfort. But those people weren't available. When Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you," I have some type of experience and revelation of that. When Jesus said that he'll never leave you or forsake you, he really meant that. But during that time of being stretched out and my faith being tested, I remember that covenant that I made with God, where I told him that no matter what I go through in life, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to depart from you. And the Lord tested me. He tested my faith in the wilderness. And, in return, I did pass that test. I came out of the wilderness as a result of being obedient in the wilderness and passing, many faith tests within it. My relationship with God, it grew so much stronger. My ability to discern his voice and the spirit to hear it began to develop and evolve. The gifts of the Holy Spirit began to manifest and be activated in my life. And while I was in a time of need in my wilderness, God was using me to meet the needs of many people that I crossed paths with there. The Lord was using me to minister to a married couple, individuals that, I just crossed paths with. And here I am in dire need. God was using me to meet the needs of others. See, I had a choice to leave the wilderness. And I remember asking the Lord one day in prayer, "Why do you want me to go back to the wilderness?" And he said to me, his voice was clear. It wasn't audible, but it was the quiet, still voice. And the Lord said to me, "I am the potter and you are the clay." And after he said that, I chose to be obedient. I knew at that point that my faith was being tested. So out of obedience, I returned to my wilderness and continue this process that God had me on. What are you going to do when God asks you, when God calls you into the wilderness because he wants to sanctify you, consecrate you, prepare you for whatever calling that's on your life? Are you willing to be obedient? Are you willing to sacrifice and trust him? Because what you think that God is asking you to sacrifice, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have anything that he's not going to replace what he's asking you to sacrifice. The Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And with Abraham not knowing what was going to happen next, he chose to walk in obedience. What is God asking you to sacrifice? And are you willing to sacrifice it without knowing the full plans or how the outcome is going to be? And there's another story that I want to share with you before I go. I was at Walmart, and this is probably going back 5 months ago. I was in Walmart looking for something, and I couldn't find what I was looking for, so I just looked around to see if I can find a sales associate. And I saw this woman down the aisle, and I walked up to her and I looked at her name tag, and you know how I read it, I wasn't sure if I was going to pronounce her name correctly. She was an Indian, older woman, probably like in late 50s. And you know, I didn't want to butcher her name, so I just asked her kindly, "Ma'am, how do you pronounce your name?" And she said to me, she answered me and said, "My name is Surrender." And when she told me her name, I took a pause and just thought to myself, "Wow, Surrender." And I knew that God was trying to tell me something. So she finished helping me, and then I walked away just repeating Surrender, Surrender. And I had an idea of what God was asking me to surrender. Now, after that first time I saw her, maybe 3 months after I saw her, I was in Walmart again, and you know, I'm walking down the aisle, looking for an item, and you know, I'm reaching towards like the top shelf, and I'm walking, and this woman stands up, and I apologize because I could have tripped over her or bumped her. I honestly didn't see her. And you know, when the woman stood up, it was the same woman that I saw before, Surrender. And when I saw her name again, this time I'm like, this is definitely not a coincidence. And I knew what the Lord was asking me to do. He was asking me to surrender myself to him. God might not be asking you to sacrifice something. He might be asking you to sacrifice your time just to be with him. And so I'm still on this journey of surrendering into God's secret place. I don't know what it is that God is asking you to put on the altar. I think you know better than I do. And he's asking you to sacrifice. He's asking you to place whatever it is that's on the altar. One of the reasons that God tested Abraham, he wanted to see where his heart was at. He wanted to see where his faith was at. It didn't make sense for Abraham to kill Isaac when he and his wife could not give birth. You know what happened, where Sarah asked Abraham to get their servant pregnant because she couldn't give birth. And you know the conflict and the jealousy and the envy that came about as a result of that. Now here, finally, Abraham and Sarah, they get to have a child of their own. And this child wouldn't have been birthed if it wasn't for Sarah being able to hear from God. Isn't that amazing? When you're equally yoked, both are able to hear from God. What is God asking you to give up in this season? Maybe what he's asking you to sacrifice and put on the altar, he's going to ask you to go through with slaying it. Maybe what he's asking you to give up, or what has become first in your life, or what has become God in your life with a lowercase g, that you have made an idol. And he's asking you to put that on the altar because he's now second in your life. Will you respond? Will you humble yourself and set aside your personal feelings, set aside your own thoughts, and to accept the ways of God? I want to end this podcast by praying for you. I sincerely do pray that your heart was open to this message. And I just want to, get beside you and pray for your heart. And Jesus, thank you so much for being our Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for being such a kind and understanding and generous person. Lord, I truly believe that you're speaking to someone right now. You're asking them to put something on the altar. And you're giving them instructions of where to go to make that sacrifice. Jesus, I just pray that you give them a spirit of obedience, that you give them discernment to hear your voice. Jesus, you said your sheep know your voice. It's my prayer that your body, your sheep, will come to know your voice, that they'll come to a place where they can discern your spirit. Give them a heart of obedience and a discerning spirit. Give them the confidence to trust you, to have faith in you, to let go of whatever it is that you're asking them to release and place on the altar. Keep your sheep safe. Watch over them. Protect them. Love them. Ask you, Lord, to remove, to forgive them for their sins if they have been disobedient, and that you will restore them in your grace and your love, and with your perfect peace that surpasses all understanding. It's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. If this message has touched you in any way, I hope that you will share it with someone. Email me any comments or questions, topics that you want me to address. I'm open to that. My email is iammelvindavis@gmail.com. That's iammelvindavis@gmail. If you want to follow me on social media, my Instagram is iam_melvindavis. I'm also active on Facebook, which you can find me by my first and last name. I want to thank you again for tuning in. Most of my topics are going to come from my Instagram posts, so stay on the lookout for more content. God bless you.